that he would speak forth your word, and it become like a double-edged sword to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I don't know how many times I've spoken here now, but it's always good. So thanks for inviting me back. I was with Jonathan at IHOP a few weeks ago. We had an amazing time, and it was good to meet in America. You know, it was just a bit random, but it was really good. We had such a powerful time. My wife and I went for a leadership summit, with a few prayer leaders from different parts of the world, actually, just kind of building a relationship and strategizing and talking about what God's doing in the earth with the prayer movement and all that. And it's really exciting to hear how God's moving in different parts of the world. And there's just a great sense of the fact that we're living in such an epic time. Someone said, not at this conference, but someone said this, and I love this. I want to live my life like there's an epic soundtrack playing behind me. You know what that means? That means everything actually matters. You know, when you watch a movie and it's like everything is just epic and, you know, slow motion and, you know, it's like, it's so big that it's like every move is so kind of, there's so much in every move. And I just love that. So the Lord has really been good to us and just really stirring our hearts with many things in this season. I feel like I have a word that God's given me for this season that we're in. And I just want to share some of that, really, and just believe that the Lord will release some revelation on us. But before I do that, I want to just let you know about this conference we have coming up. For most of you that don't know me, my name is James, and obviously James Eladeron on the screen. You've seen that. I don't know why I'm saying this. My surname is Eladeron. Do you know what it means? It means a generation of pure people. I love that. My middle name is Oluwafemi. It's a Nigerian name. And it means God loves me. I mean, that's powerful. I just love that. Every now and again, it's good to remind myself, what my name means. And we named our son Justice because my wife has a real passion for justice. And we believe through him, God's going to release justice to the nations. We have this conference coming up. I run with a few people. Jonathan is part of that as well. A movement called Prayer Storm. And we gather twice a year to have a day of fasting and prayer for the nation. Our model is based on Joel 2. Joel 2 says, basically, when the nation is in crisis, you know, and there's no hope and there's no remedy, God still has a holy prescription. And I feel like that template applies very easily to any nation and probably more than any other Great Britain. So we feel like the model of Joel 2 is gather all the people, all the elders, gather the nursing infants, gather the people that just got married, everyone, gather the whole nation and have a day of fasting and prayer. And you know what God promises in Joel 2, 28, we know the promise. Afterwards, I'll pour my spirit on all flesh. So the question is, after what? Well, the question after the mass gathering, after the mass mobilization, after the people of God are meeting to seek him in repentance for the nation. So that's what we do with Prayer Storm. We do that twice a year. And I know as a church you've been supporting us, and I want to say thank you. Really appreciate the support. I see many of you coming to the gatherings. You know, we had an amazing time this last gathering. You know, I think we had over 640 people actually, you know, for 7 hours, 12 p.m. to 7 p.m., you know, a day of worship and intercession and fasting for the nation. We've got another one coming up in May. That's maybe one I want to talk to you about briefly before I start teaching. We've got this conference we do it once a year, and the focus of it is to equip people in intercession. Because we've Prayer Storm, we don't do a lot of teaching in the meetings about prayer and intercession. We just gather people together and we just come and worship and intercede. Because I feel like the heart for intercession is more caught than taught. You know, there's some things you catch in an atmosphere that you can't really explain it, but you just know your heart stirred towards something. You know, and we feel like, for me anyway, my heart for prayer was sparked more, I feel, when I was a lot younger, before I even realized, because I'll go into my mom's room and I'll see her praying, you know. Every time I wanted to ask her for something, I'll see her praying, you know. And all of a sudden, I start having this feeling in my heart, I'm supposed to be doing this. I don't know why. I just feel like I'm supposed to be on my knees praying too, Okay, that's not to say I started praying then, but the point is, I just had this stirring in my heart. But the point is, it was modeled for me in my home by my parents. So there's something that I caught in my heart, and I feel like there's something that people can catch in an atmosphere of intercession. So we have these times of teaching to really provide some sort of foundation on how to go deep in intercession. Because the promise in Joel 2:28 talks about sons and daughters. The last days I put my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And I love what was said earlier on here, that this church has got different generations in it. Well, the Joel 2:28 promise is a multi-generational promise. In other words, the fullness of that promise is yet to happen. Okay. Did you just hear what I just said? The fullness of what Joel prophesied is yet to happen. We're yet to see the fullness of the outpouring of God's Spirit. So we could be living in a generation that could be preparing for that to happen. It is possible, and I really have a sense that it's closer than we realize. Because there's in times, you know, there are times you say things in faith, and there are times you say things because you can see it. When I say things in faith, like, you just say because you believe in it that it's going to happen. Because, like I said, you know, I'm believing God for a mighty move of His Spirit, and you all say amen. But if you say the amen, the fact that you believe in it, but you can say the amen also because you can see it. Okay? And there's been times in prayer recently where, you know, I felt like I could see a mighty move of God across the nation. When I say see, it wasn't a vision. It was just, I could see it in faith. I could see it with the eyes of faith. And it was a way I'd not seen it before. But all I can say is there's going to be millions of people across Great Britain that are going to get saved. Millions. Over a period of time, millions. Just salvation. You know, just springing up. You know, and I've never used those kind of words before, millions. I don't normally say thousands. But I can see millions. It's going to aid this nation. So the Joel 2:28 promise is yet to happen in its fullness. But it's multi-generational. So it's the young and the old. Sons and daughters and young men. And then the old men. So there's a connection with the generations. Are you with me? So older people, we need you. We need you to remain on fire for God. We need you to be an example. We need you to remain a counsel. We need you to keep running after God all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because I tell you what, God is really going to use the youth in these last days. But that's not to say it's exclusive and it's just them and it's not the other people. Are you with me? But there is an emphasis on the young people. I'm saying all that to say, if there's an emphasis on the young people, somehow there needs to be a transfer of the heart and burdens that many of you have carried for years for this nation. And I look across the nation from my experience and my connections. I don't see many teenagers or people in their 20s. There's a few, but not many, rising up to carry the heart for prayer and intercession. Some of you have been praying for this nation for years, maybe even before I was born. Okay? Now, do you realize over years you accumulate prayers? Okay? Prayers don't die. The prayers you prayed 2 years ago, this day 2 years ago, you prayed something, it probably. Do you know God still has a record of that? And He has not forgotten, even though we've forgotten. I love when the angel came to Zechariah and he was in the temple. The angel said, your prayer has been heard. Your prayer is heard and you should bring forth a son, da da da. You know, and he was so shocked because I guarantee you, it probably prayed so much for a son, he'd forgotten and almost given up on praying. He's like, okay, well, I'm old now. It's probably not going to happen. He said, your prayer has been heard. And I feel like sometimes we don't realize our prayers accumulate in the Spirit. And it's like what the older generation has carried over the years. It needs to be reconnected with the youth so that they're not starting from square one. In other words, they're standing on the shoulders of those who've gone before them. They're standing on your shoulders, the prayers you've prayed. They're starting and taking it to another level, but starting from where you are right now. Not from where, you know, not from square one or zero. And I feel like somehow God is calling us right now as a prayer movement to begin to raise up prayer leaders. And this is where I'm going with this. I know it's a long whatever. I'll get there eventually. God is calling us to raise up prayer leaders. People who will catch the heart of prayer, but in schools. In universities, in colleges, in workplaces. And the heart you've carried for 20, 30, 40 years, they're carrying that same heart with the same mantle and burden for their school. I mean, how amazing would that be? You know, I believe that's going to be something of a picture of how God's really going to begin to bring awakening. Because obviously prayer is going to precede it. So I want to encourage you to, I'm going to leave some of these flyers at the back. I want to encourage you to join us in 2 weeks' time. We're going to be having this conference to equip people in prayer and intercession. We've got an amazing man of God, Ken Gott from Sunderland. Does anyone know Ken Gott here? Yeah, he's an amazing man of God, and he's led some amazing moves of God, even not just in Sunderland, but around the world, and he's going to be with us teaching on prayer and intercession. Okay, so enough of that now. Now, let's get into a few things I feel God saying today. I got this email, and I want to read it to you. Because it's very interesting. 2 weeks ago, on the 26th of January, this all happened in the heart of the nation in Birmingham. You might realize this. At 12:54 a.m., there was an earthquake, 4.1 measured, in Birmingham, the largest earthquake to hit Britain in 10 years. The same day, a tornado hit the Midlands in the afternoon. The same day, lightning struck a Sikh temple and ripped the roof off. In one day, all in the same region. Do you think there's something to that? I do. Now, I don't know the fullness of what there is to that. But I know there's something about the heart of the nation that the Midlands represents. And somehow, it's almost like a picture of God is shaking everything that can be shaken, that is preparing the ground for something amazing to happen. And every other god is coming toppling down. Have you heard the story of Dagon? When the presence of God, when the Ark of the Covenant was taken into this place, and there was this other god, you know, the guys who would capture the Ark of the Covenant, they had their god next to the Ark. You know, and every time they came in, the god was falling face down. And they tried to put him back up again, he was falling face down. I feel like God is going to begin to raise up the ark of his presence in the church in these last days, like has never been seen before. And the word I feel God's calling me to give is connected to a few things I said before. The fact that we are yet to see the fullness of Joel 2:28. But when I say that, it's very easy for you to disconnect from that and think of it as, because it says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. It's easy for us to think of that fulfillment in the context of a church service. It's easy for you to think of that fulfillment in the context of a church conference. The outpouring of God's spirit is not going to be limited by a meeting like this. So what that means is you are going to carry that spirit in the same measure as the prophetic guy who is giving words to everyone on the platform is. As the evangelist who is standing before millions and declaring the word of God around the bunker, you're going to carry the same anointing into your workplace. And it's not going to be refined, it's not going to be confined to the church now. It's going to be the saints of God. How else are millions going to be saved? Think about it. It's not going to be in the context of a church meeting. I mean, it's going to be part of it. But when you begin to carry that into your schools, your workplaces, it's going to be like just an explosion everywhere. People responding, but not because of a personality and a personality-driven ministry. It's the church of God rising up to stand into, to grow into the fullness of what God has called them to. Because God says the fivefold ministry is for the equipping of the saints. For them to do the work of the ministry. So the work of the ministry is not just me. Okay, now I do this for a job. I get paid to pray. Okay, I spend my time in prayer room. You know, I pray to teach. Okay, that's what I feel called to do. But I didn't plan to do this with my life. I plan to be doing something else, actually. But I know I'm called to do it. I know I'm anointed to do it. So I'm going to do it. But for you, you may not be called to stand on the platform, but you're called to be a school teacher. Right there in that school, you can be the conduit for the presence of God to invade that school. Are you with me? But you have to see your responsibility that you are called to carry the presence of God. Because if you don't, it's very easy for you to delegate and say, okay, well, for example, okay, it's fun. This morning I woke up and my wife and I are praying. And it was just this morning I realized I'm speaking here today. She's like, James, you're speaking at Mount. I was like, no, that's not today. I looked at the day and I'm like, oh my gosh, it is today. So I'm not coming here, though, panicking. I didn't, you know, was I panicking this morning? Because I was like, okay, well, I'm speaking there today. The point I'm trying to make is I'm living a message. I'm not coming to just bring you something to impress. I'm living a message, so I know what God has called me to say already. So it's hell already in me. But the point is, if I were to say to you, do you have Sunday night services here? You don't. Let's just assume you do. And I have to say to you, we're supposed to be speaking this evening. Okay? And you just found out now. It's very likely between now and this evening, you're not going to go home and watch Coronation Street. Is that fair to say? You're probably going to want to make some time to pray and seek God. Why? Because all of a sudden you feel responsibility. Responsibility to do what? Responsibility to bring the word of God. Well, the point I want to make from that is you still have that responsibility now. It's not when you get a microphone you have that responsibility. You have that responsibility on your work, in your workplace. Okay? So, the outpouring of God's Spirit is not something that's disconnected from our individual responsibilities. We are called to walk in the overflow of His presence in our private lives if we're going to see the outpouring of His Spirit in a public place. We're not going to see the fullness of the outpouring of His Spirit publicly if as individuals we're not walking in the overflow of His presence privately. Many times we can easily call out to God to show up publicly for us, but the question is, are we showing up privately for Him? Okay, because the authority we're going to have in the public domain is dependent on the obedience that we walk in the private domain. Okay, so God is calling us. Now, I'm saying all that to prepare you for the word I feel God wants to say to us, because it's a word that I feel like I've been carrying in my life for a while now, a few months. I can't shake it off. But let's just imagine Joel 2:28, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Millions of people getting saved in this nation. A massive move of God. Let's just imagine that will be happening in 5 years' time. Do you not think right now God is preparing people for that? If it's going to happen 5 years' time, do you realize God's not going to be preparing people the year before it happens? He's right now beginning to align things. And I'm saying, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know just as I'm standing before you, there's going to be a massive awakening. And it's not going to be the day before or the year before that you're going to want to say, oh, well, let me just get my heart right with God right now. Because you miss out on being a part of what God is about to do. Because you've not prepared yourself. Okay? And I feel like God is calling the church right now to begin to align ourselves in a way we haven't done before. And this is where I'm going to with this word. Last year, we have these all-night prayer meetings every week. And this particular day, I was with a friend of mine, and we're just praying. And he just gave me this word. He's like, James, I really feel like God's saying, if we focus, He said He's going to do big things if we focus. So I just wrote that down, and I thought, great. And then I went to this conference. I was supposed to be speaking. I woke up that morning, and all I could hear in my heart, it was just like this word just resonates, and I couldn't shake it off. It was consecrate, consecrate, consecrate. So I thought, I feel like God's speaking to me about consecration. And in my heart, I knew what that meant for me. So I was just kind of like just thinking about that, you know. And then that same day, I met a friend, and he was like, you know what, James, just really want to hear, what do you feel God's saying in this season? And I was like, I don't know, just today, the word that's just in my heart is consecration. And he was like, wow, that's amazing, because the word God's given me recently is Joshua 3:5. So if you can turn there, that would be great. Joshua 3:5. I'll just read it. It's a short verse. Some of you will know this. It says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Okay, so I just wait for you to turn there. So it says to me, James, I really feel God is speaking to me. God has been speaking to us about this. Joshua 3:5. Sanctify is, you know, you can translate that, consecrate. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Okay? When it says consecrate yourself, it's referring to the present tense. Consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So, you know, I was like, wow, that's amazing. Okay, so I meditated on that. That day I went to bed and I had this dream. And in this dream, my wife came to me. We're kind of in like a restaurant type place. She came to me and she said, James, you know what? I really have this sense of big things ahead. She says, I have this sense of big things ahead. And the moment she said that in the dream, the presence of God comes on both of us in the dream, and she is just weeping and just weeping, and I'm just like, just like, wow, the presence of God is here in the dream. But in reality, on my bed, I was just shaking, like, violently. Some of you may know what this feels like. You know, the presence of God can be overwhelming to the point your physical body can't handle. Because sometimes we think of the presence of God as always gentle. He is gentle, but there are times, if you read Daniel, when Daniel encountered visions and revelations of God, and for days it took him to physically recover from the impact of that realm on his body. There are dimensions in the spirit we're yet to tap into. There is a lot more than what we do here on a Sunday morning. There is a lot more than what we hear preachers preaching. There's a lot more. I can guarantee you, put all the men of God and put all the women of God, no disrespect, everyone included, we don't know God. Mike Bickle, everyone, I respect all these people. We don't know God. Because when we stand before him, we're going to think, oh gosh, I had no idea. Because he's beyond anything we can right now kind of comprehend with our minds. And the realms and the dimensions, that's just like, oh, it's just crazy. And it's so sad that many Christians will settle for just a nice worship service and settle for just a nice teaching time. I want to have all that God has available for the human body in this age before I get to the other side. Because I don't want to get to that side, look into his face and realize I could have had more of him and I could have seen him impact the world more, but I didn't see that happen because of my comfortable Christianity and my compromised Christianity and my just fitting with the status quo and my, just this being mesmerized by just doing the norm and just going through the routines. And, I am just burning with a passion because I live in this place of frustration, a good kind of frustration, because I'm not satisfied where I'm at. And I know there's a lot more. As much as I stand before you preaching, my wife will tell you there are times I'm saying to her, Becky, there's more than this. My heart's just so stirred right now. I was watching, this is not even related to what I'm about to say. I was watching some clips on YouTube. The greatest basketballer right now is LeBron James. Have you heard of him, anyone? John has. Do you realize this guy spends 17 hours practicing? Okay? And I was watching a motivational clip on YouTube. And I don't know if it's LeBron James on this clip, but it was someone, I thought might have been him. He was talking about success. How bad do you want to be successful? It's like, you got to want it more than food. You got to want it more than sleep. Okay? And he's saying this stuff. And then he shares this story of this businessman, successful businessman, and a young guy comes to him and says, I want to be a successful businessman. He's like, okay, great. Meet me at the beach tomorrow. Okay, so this guy comes, meets him at the beach. Okay, says, you want to be successful? He's like, yes. So they start walking into the ocean, And then it goes to the point where it starts drowning this guy that wants to be successful. And this guy's struggling, trying to get out, trying to breathe. So he comes out, finally comes out of the water. He says, what do you want? He's like, I want air. He's like, okay. Until you want to be successful, as bad as you want air, you will never be successful. Oh, Lord. This is a man talking about natural things in this earth. Talking, and there are people right now who practice 17 hours for the sake of being successful at basketball, who go to the gym day in and day out for the sake of being, an amazing athlete. And I'm saying to Becky, I'm like, Becky, there is no way I'm going to let some basketballer be more passionate about basketball than I am about Jesus. Because this is eternal. If they can survive on 3-4 hours of sleep, well, what will my life look like if I can survive on that amount of sleep because I'm giving myself to God? Because I'm not thinking about what can I get away with. I just tick the box of Sunday service. Oh, yeah, and I went to Bible study. Oh, yeah, and I went to prayer meeting. Oh, no. I want my whole life to be God. I want my whole life to be prayer. God said to me, James, I've not called you to lead prayer meetings. I've called you to live in prayer. And I heard the testimony of this pastor. Some of these things I think to myself, when I hear these stories, I cannot afford to live the same way. It's like, having heard that, if I carry on living the way I have lived, I must be crazy. This is Pastor Guy. Actually, some of you know, my home church is Lighthouse, and Pastor Dele is one of my pastors there, and he was telling me of this guy who was at university with him. And they'll have all-night prayer meetings, and they'll sit God together, just after God. After they've prayed for 8 hours, okay, they're all going home. This guy is just warmed up to start praying. I love that. And since there was no time he met this guy that he wasn't fasting. Like, this guy was just radical. See, today, if I said to you, okay, I spent 12 hours praying, or I spent 3 hours spent, oh gosh, you must be some radical Christian. What if I told you I spent 12 hours watching the whole series of Lord of the Rings? Which people do. You think, oh well, you know, yeah, you know, yeah, that happens, you know, yeah, and I've done, you know, but why is it that somehow what is supposed to be normal has become abnormal? And all of a sudden, if I'm giving myself to go in a radical way, you'll be a fanatic. No, no, no. I don't care what you call me. As far as I'm concerned, I've got to have God for real. Not just the talk, the reality, the reality. Not just the nice music and nice goosebumps and nice feeling and cry every now and again. No, no. I want to see His face every day. I want to walk with Him in the cool of the day. I want to have all that's possible. And I know for a fact, treasure is not treasure if it's easily accessible. Because there are realms. And you've heard me say this before, some of you, there are realms in God that's not just accessible because you said a prayer now and just because you say, okay, God, I want more of you. And that's it. And you carry on the rest of your life. You might even sing the song, I want more of you, God. You know, sing it, sing it. Well, is it manifested in your actions that you actually want more of God? Because you can sing and your actions and your life is not reflecting that you want more of God. I want more of God. I'm not itching to preach. I'm itching to pray. Because I can preach right now. You might be stirred and praise God for that. But when I pray, I know I can move angels and demons over regions and release the kingdom of God. And I tell you what, I really want to see that reality every day. Every day. Every day. I want to be one of those people where when I wake up, the demons are like, oh gosh, she's awake. Oh gosh. You know, I want the reality. And God gave us this word, Joshua 3:5, consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow I will do amazing things amongst you. That tells me it's not about today, it's about your tomorrow. That today is preparing the way for your tomorrow. Well, the problem is many of us don't have a vision for tomorrow. We don't realize God wants to do big things. And it wasn't just a personal word when my wife had that dream. I feel like it's a word for the body. Your greatest days are ahead of you, people. It doesn't matter how old you are. Your greatest days are ahead of you. The greatest things that you yet to see God do. The greatest things that God can do, you're yet to see Him do it in your life or through your life. And it's ahead of you. It's not behind you. Forget about trying to talk about those glory old days of whatever happened, even here in this church. Forget about the days past. The greatest days are ahead of you, church. The days are coming when this place will be too small for you. Okay, only two people receive that. I prophesy that over you as a church. The days are coming when this place will be too small for you. Not because of amazing preaching, but because God has descended upon you because you prepared a place for Him to come. You know, and this church is going to be a prayer tower. The Lord gave me that word for a friend of mine. Last week, we were having this all-night prayer meeting on Thursday night. And I just said, Prophet, and I said, you know, I see God giving you, God calling you to be a prayer tower. And as I just said that, I saw that here as well. A prayer tower. A prayer tower. There are certain places God's going to raise up in this city. It's going to be like a lighthouse. And He's going to send watchmen over that place. And they're going to have a vision. And it's going to be a place in the spirit that will be so significant, like a ladder, Jacob's ladder type place. And I see this church as one of those places. Hear me. God has got a greater assignment on this church than most of you realize. And I believe local congregations have specific assignments in the kingdom of God. The assignment that Lighthouse has is different to the assignment that Mount Chapel has. The assignment that Mount Chapel has is different from the assignment that World Harvest Bible Church has. But in the context of God's work in this kingdom, we all need to play our part. And see, if God is talking to you about consecration today, it's because He can see your tomorrow. The Olympic athletes do not get ready for the Olympic the day before they're about to have a major tournament. Okay, they don't even get ready for the Olympics a year before. If they know they're supposed to be running a race 4 years down the line, right now they're preparing themselves. You know what consecrate means? It means separate. It means disconnect. If you go into the New Testament, the word holiness can be translated consecration, to consecrate, to set apart. You set yourself apart from, to set yourself apart to. So you disconnect from, to give yourself to. It's not just the case of disconnection and moral, you know, almost like some sort of moral code. Because I tell you what, right now, there are people who are more moral than many Christians and don't know Jesus. That doesn't mean they're going to have access to his kingdom, because without the blood of Jesus, we really can't get anywhere. Okay? So, it's not about what you disconnect yourselves from. Are you with me? It's what you connect yourselves to. So, we have to get to a place where our yes to Jesus is so loud, we don't even need to say no. Are you with me? We don't need to say no to the compromise. We don't need to say no to the distractions, because the yes is overwhelming our lives. Now, those Olympic athletes, what they do is, they give themselves to their sports in an unusual way. They wake up 5 a.m., some of them, to go to the gym. You know, and they're doing all the exercises, and their diet is very strict. When they go out with their friends, and their friends are having burgers and eating junk food, they will not be eating that type of food, because they have a vision of somewhere they're going. So for some of you, you might be with your friends, and you might be like, well, why are you doing this, why are you doing that? Well, if they're not seeing what you're seeing, maybe that's what's causing them not to give themselves in the way you're giving yourself. So the point is, the Olympic athlete is consecrated to his sport. In the same way, God is calling us to be consecrated unto him in this season. I'm not even talking about sin. The sin is just the giving. Okay, well, I know I shouldn't be looking at porn. I know I shouldn't be, you know, watching all this kind of stuff. I know I shouldn't be listening to that, whatever. Because I know it's against the kingdom. I know the Holy Spirit doesn't like it. Okay? I'm not talking about sin. Hebrews, it talks about, because we're surrounded by a great cloud of witness, okay, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. So there's a difference between weight and sin. Every sin is a weight, but not every weight is a sin. There are weights that's come over us as the body of Christ, and we've got so carried away with just doing life, we don't realize we're slowed down in our pursuit after God. And we're not being prepared, because we cannot see there's a vision of great things ahead of us. If you don't have a vision, that's why that scripture says, without vision, my people perish. If you can see that God's called you for revival, and you're going to be a voice in that revival in 5 years' time, I can guarantee you, if you really lay hold of that reality, right now you're going to pray like you've never prayed. Right now you're going to study the Word, read the Word, because you don't want to miss out when that time comes. And I'm here to tell you, that time is coming. And it's not going to be about the Jameses, or whoever you think is a great man of God preaching here today. It's going to be about you, the people of God. But now is the time to consecrate. Those weights, you need to lay them aside. Oops. You need to lay them aside. Why do you think Olympic athletes wear so little when they want to run the race? You know, they kind of, you know, they dress in as little as possible in terms of clothes that will not become a weight. They even shave the hairs on their leg. Guys, I don't think I've ever done that before. But they do crazy stuff, because something as little as a hair can become a weight. How crazy is that? That they think that can become a distraction. So they do the radical crazy stuff, all for the sake of remaining focused, because they want to win the race. How bad do you want to know God? Are you satisfied with just reading a Bible passage here and there, and a nice meeting, and, you know, raising your hands, having a nice feeling of the presence of God? You know, no. How bad do you really want to know God? Because until we really want to know Him that bad, we will not know Him. And we're going to get there on that day and realize we just played church and just had a nice church meeting and just went through emotions, but really did not give God everything in us. And I'm saying to my wife, you know, my priorities right now is God, my wife and family, and ministry. I'm saying, how much sleep can I survive on and be insane and still be able to look after my family, but still be able to go after God in a, you know, how much can I push these boundaries? In fact, I didn't finish the story I started earlier on about a pastor daily telling me about his friend who, after 8 hours of prayer, was just warmed up to start praying. When they finished school, this guy planted the church without adverts, without nothing. You know, I don't know if it was months or weeks or whatever. This church was 20,000 strong. Okay? Now, this is a man he didn't do the groundwork, so to speak. He didn't do the work of trying to network. He did all the work in the spirit. Oh, Lord. So he showed up and everything just happened because he'd already done the work. Have you ever heard? I might use this illustration here, but for some of you that have not heard it, it's worth using it again. This realm is just a reflection of another realm, which is the spirit realm. Because it says the things that are sin are made from things that are not seen. So the unseen is superior to the seen. So if you want to change the scene, you've got to start in the unseen first. And the only way you can change your state is through prayers, intercession, and worship. So this man somehow presented that reality such that he just showed up and bam, everything just happened. Because he'd already created the space. And, you know, Pastor Dale tells me about this guy, you know, walking into rooms when they're in university. When he walks into rooms, you know, like demons start manifesting. Okay. He says they used to get nervous when he started prophesying. This guy has visitations with Jesus like, you know, just normal. Okay? The president of the nation calls for him to come and pray for him regularly. Do you know what he does now? He's giving himself to singleness. He prays for 6 days and preaches on Sunday. Prays for 6 days and preaches on Sunday. Prays for 6 days and preaches on Sunday. Wow! I love that. And you may think, well, that's a bit radical. But what do you think the apostles did? Read your Bible in the book of Acts. It said, we're going to assign these people to look after the tables so that we may give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. So their whole life was, I want to tell you, Jesus' major ministry was not teaching or preaching, it was prayer. Read the Bible, especially like Luke. There's some passages, and I've naturally mapped this out properly. There's some passages you read, and it's obviously the whole of the New Testament and some books, they're not all in chronological order, but there's some stories that are said chronologically. And you find that Jesus spent all night in prayer, he came out, preached, and then when he prayed again, it's like, I'm thinking, when did he rest? There's some stories, if you track, you'll be able to see that it was a bit like he's been all night praying and then bam, he comes out of that and then there's a crowd and then ministers to them. And after that, he tries to go to a solitary place to pray again. I'm thinking, that's a bit crazy. But the point is, that's how he lived in prayer. The apostles saw that and that's how they lived. No wonder their shadows could heal the sick. So we want to see that happen, but we don't want to give ourselves in an equal way. I'm not saying everyone is going to do the six-day prayer thing. No, but the point is, you know what it means for you to go all the way for God in your context. With kids, you know, with a job. You can still make God the highest priority in your life. And it's not just something that you do on a Sunday. You can still make God such a priority that your whole life is swallowed up in Him. And I really don't believe the saying that you can be so heavenly minded you're not earthly good. I've not met that person. If you have, let me know. I wonder if they're actually focusing on the same heaven we are in terms of the same Jesus. It's impossible to run into Jesus and not be captivated for the lost. It's impossible to run into Jesus himself and not feel his compassion for the dying people of the world who don't know him. It's impossible. That's my experience. I am not predominantly an evangelist, but I do preach the gospel and the opportunities that God brings my way. And I'm praying that he brings those opportunities my way as well. So the point I'm trying to make is, as we begin to live this reality, sometimes there are certain mindsets that will say, oh, you know, I might become too fanatical. Well, how else are we going to change this world? Until we allow this to become something we're ready to die for. My mindset is, I'm ready to die for this. If I'm not ready to die for this gospel message, then I don't want to live. I can't live for it in reality. If I'm not so convinced that I'm ready to die for it. I'm going to round up now. The word is, consecrate yourselves today. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. I'm going to share, as a roundup, this picture in the nation of Israel. It's different levels of consecration. The whole nation of Israel was called to be consecrated to God. But out of the whole nation, there was a particular tribe that was specially called to be consecrated, the Levites. Okay? Out of the Levites, then there were the priests. Okay? So every priest was a Levite, but not every Levite was a priest. And when you read through the instructions and all the stuff, you find that the requirements of the priest was higher than that of the Levite. And then out of the priest, you have the high priest. And the requirements on his life and how he consecrated himself to God was a bit insane. The things that he couldn't do that other people could do. The point I'm trying to make is, the other priests could atone for individual sins, but it was only the high priest that could atone for a whole nation. So the person who would have the highest level of consecration will have the greatest level of authority and impact in the nation. Are you with me? And I feel like in this season, God is saying, It's not about what can I get away with. How far would you let me go? Do you understand what I mean? God is saying, would you be asking me this question? Lord, how far would you let me go? How, you know, it's a Misty Edwards song, but to me that song really captures the essence of an abandoned life in God. How far can I go in God? How far can I give myself to God in this season? Lord, what do you require of me? What are the things I can lay down that are just time wasters, that just eat up my emotions and just eat up my time, and you know, I come out of it duller, you know, my heart is not as on fire as it should be. What is it, God? I want you to show me. And right now, before God, I want you to just ask him that question. It would be great if we can have maybe a musician or two, you know, just to ask God, Lord, what are you requiring of me to prepare myself for what's ahead of me? Lord, begin to just speak to our hearts right now, I pray. I know you're already doing that, Father. Begin to bring a clarity. Begin to bring a just simple instructions that we already know. Maybe stuff, things we don't even know yet. But Lord, I am not satisfied with this, because I know there's a lot more that you want to give and you want to release for us. So right now, Father, I just break off the apathy. I break off the complacency. I break off the distractions. I break off the weight and the sin from anyone here today, God. Anything that's stopping us from being radical, being holy, being focused, right now I remove it. Father, where our visions have become blurry, Holy Spirit, right now begin to release. I believe this was prayed earlier, and begin to release a fresh vision of you, Jesus. That you become the thing that we see. You become the one that we live for. That we don't live for a big ministry. We don't live for even a big church. We don't live for anything else. We're living for you. We want to know your heart. And in knowing your heart, I know we will change the world. Father, I ask that, Lord, you know, give us a fresh vision of that right now. Release that fire, Father. That real, authentic fire that's not based on anything external, on the inside. You're stirring us from the inside out. If you want to respond to this, I want you to just lift your hands to the Lord right now. This is the sign of saying, God, I'm responding to this. I'm saying yes. In the congregation, I'm responding. I'm saying, yes, God, I want to be as focused as I can be on this side of eternity. And I don't want to waste my life. Father, I'm asking for grace, because I know, Lord, it's not by power, it's not by my mind or my power or our minds or our power, it's by your Spirit. And I believe there's a grace by your Spirit here today. Let it be in abundance over everyone responding right now, God. In abundance, to give ourselves the way we've never done before, to read your word like we've never done before, to pray and seek you like we've never done before. Because we can see that you have a great thing to do. like, as the Lord is speaking to your heart about things that you can lay down, things that are distractions, I want to encourage you to make yourself accountable. Don't just think it. Talk to your husband, talk to your wife, talk to your closest friend. Say, this is what God is speaking to me about. Will you hold me accountable on how I can live this out? And not just say yes to God now and forget about it. Bless you in Jesus' name.
Stay in that place. Now, the Word of God says that the truth shall set you free.